Yes, guys. So last week we covered another interesting topic, and this week, I think sometime over the last couple of weeks, a few things came up, and Rebecca was asking us, was telling us about the import about the situation that we should consider baptism, and it so happened when Rebecca said that. It was very, the time was sort of opportune because Anna had been mentioning to me before that she wanted to know about baptism. And so she asked if we could do one of our Bible studies on baptism. So this was before Rebecca mentioned this. So since Rebecca then mentioned it, I thought since Dee wasn't going to be here today, at the last minute, she had to cancel because she got a new job. I thought this would be a good opportunity for us to discuss baptism. So today's topic is actually baptism. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So Anna, you should be happy to hear that.
Very happy. You didn't even tell me that.
No, I didn't tell you anything.
Okay, good. Great. She told me that's hushed us now.
Because I told him I want this for when my topic comes around.
Right, yeah. Right.
So your topic.
So now you have to find another topic, huh?
Yes. Yeah. Your topic came around pretty early. So I know that we have people who are Christian with us, people who are not yet Christian, people who are Christian but not yet baptized. But I want to start off by asking, first of all, let's use the North American, the New American Standard Bible, all right? Because I'm going through the different versions. I found this one to kind of like be as near to what I think the original translations might be. So I chose to use this one for today, as I've done for many of the sessions that we've had. My question is, are you baptized, one? And if you are, what was it like? And if you could tell us a little bit about it. And then for those who are not baptized, are you baptized? No. What do you know of baptism, or what do you think, sitting in on the outside, what it is all about? So that's my question. You know, are you baptized? And then if you are, give us a little information, what it was like, your experience, and so forth. And if you're not baptized, tell us what it is you've heard of it as we start. So whoever wants to kick it off is fine. If nobody volunteers,
I could give one experience, but it wasn't really baptism. It was, I got baptized in my old church as a teenager, but I didn't know what I was doing. So I was dipped in the water and I came out. I went in the same way I came out, you know, so it was just a physical baptism. It wasn't really spiritual because I was just going along with the motion of being baptized. So it was not a great experience for me.
Okay. All right. what would you have thought would have been a great experience?
I was expecting to feel differently when I came out of the water. And in the church I went to, they tell you get this feeling when you baptize with the Holy Spirit. And I never got that feeling, so I was disappointed. I felt the same way I felt before I was baptized in the water. And it was in a swimming pool.
So as far as you're concerned, are you baptized right now?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so you don't see yourself being baptized?
No.
Okay, Eric?
I don't.
I think I have been baptized like two times.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The first time I was in a Catholic church. And I think I was like 5 or 6 years old.
Oh, wow.
And really, I didn't really realize that what was the goal, what was the importance of the to be baptized. And to me, it was like, okay, my parents are Christian, are Catholic, that means it's the way to do the things, you know?
Okay.
And growing up at the university, when really I became Christian. At that moment, I was in a Pentecostal church, and I get baptized for the second time. Okay. And it was like, it was a very interesting experience. We were in a river in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine you are in the water with your pastor, everybody in the river. And yeah. At some point, yeah, you have to dive into. And it was a very, very special experience, because before this day, we were fasting for 3 days before. And the day before, we had the night of prayer. And when we finished the night of prayer in the morning, directly we went to the river for the baptism.
Oh, wow. Mm. And you knew this was going to happen before?
Yes. We have like a kind of program that, okay, the schedule, this is what we have to do, those kind of things. And yes, why? Just before the event, like during, no, I think we spent like almost 1 year where we were receiving some studies, we were receiving some course, if I can say, about the baptism, why it's important, why as a Christian we need to get baptized. And basically they were teaching that the baptism is a kind of a commitment that we are taking in front of God, saying that we want to follow him, and because Jesus did it, we want to do the same thing.
Okay.
That to me now, I know that we have two reasons. The first reason is because Jesus did it to show us probably the way, and also it's a way to show our commitment and say that, okay, now I want really to follow Jesus, and I decide to get baptized. And in this church, they were explaining that there is not baptism for kids, for children, because they are thinking that probably when you are, for example, before 8 years old, you don't realize really what is the baptism.
Right.
This is why they are not doing the baptism for the kid. But yes, it was a very, very good experience. And after the baptism, we had a great buffet.
Oh, okay. Yes. Good.
By the way, it was...
How old were you, Eric?
21.
21, okay.
Yes, but it was in one African village outside the city. It's all a small travel and a very, very interesting experience.
Is your country Christian? Mainly Christian?
Yes, the majority, yes.
Majority is Christian.
Yes. Okay.
Excuse me?
You have Muslims too?
Yes. We have like almost 70% of Christian, 20-something percent of Muslim. The rest is like animist, those kind of things.
A lot of Catholics?
Yes.
So you were born into Catholicism and then
yes.
You converted. Must have been tough for your family when you converted.
Yes.
I know what that is like.
Wait, I don't know. Similar. Wait, but converted to what? It's still Christian?
From Catholic to Protestant.
Oh.
To Pentecostal. So, sorry, what was it, Eric?
Yes, Pentecostal, yes.
Oh. Interesting, very interesting. Did you feel any special feeling when you came out from the water?
Yes. It was like, I don't know, because as I told you, we spent like 3 days without food, just praying that really God, we want to receive something, we want to start a new life. Please help us, that really we want after this baptism really to start a new life. And really after that, I feel like it's difficult to explain, because I don't know exactly, but it's like you know that there is something new, you know? Something new happens. And it's a very, very, very good feeling.
Interesting. Anna?
Can I go last or do you want me to go next?
Well, you're last, aren't you?
Oh, are you not sharing your story?
Okay, I can share mine since you're asking to go last.
Yeah.
My story is like this. Of course, like you, Eric, I was born into the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
But at a very young age, I was always attending other churches. And then eventually, when I got to about 24, I started going to another church. I think I told part of my story already. And then I wanted to get baptized. I was excited because from the time I started to go to that church, I realized that baptism was an important thing. So I immediately went to the pastor not too long after. And being the person that I am, I didn't just want to be baptized, but I wanted to break records in the church. I wanted to be the fastest person to be baptized. So I went to the pastor and I told him, listen, pastor, I want to be the fastest person to get baptized in the church. I want to get baptized now. And he was like, yeah, that doesn't sound like a very good reason to want to be baptized. You have this completely screwed up. I'm like, no, I'm going to be on a rocket to heaven. I don't want to walk or take a train. I want a rocket to heaven. And he was like, well, before you could get baptized, you have to repent. So, you know, you have to start with repenting. It's going to be a process, Gary. It's not about speed. It's a process. It's not just an event. So he told me to go and study some scriptures and then come back in a month and we'll talk again. And I was really disappointed because I thought, well, I was ready for baptism. What is he telling me about? He doesn't know anything. He doesn't understand that God and I have this special link up, you know. But I went and I started studying and of course a lot of problems came up and it took about a year before they agreed to baptize me. And when they did, I got baptized in the sea.
Wow.
Because I live on an island, so it wasn't very difficult for us to drive down to the ocean. I got baptized basically, I could say, in the border in between the Atlantic Ocean and the Caribbean Sea and the Caribbean Sea area. So we went into the water, the pastor and I, and then he did his thing and he dipped me into the water and then he took me up and I came up. And he warned me before, fortunately, that there wasn't going to be anything spectacular. Of course, being as stupid as I was, I thought a dove would come on my head or some kind of thing. Because I had this kind of belief that maybe I was a special person, you know? So God will send a dove or something. Because that didn't happen because I'm just Gary. So I didn't have any of those experiences, but I came out of it and I felt a commitment to a new way of life. I didn't have any what I would call superficial kind of like crazy feeling of, oh, you know, something just got cleaned inside and all of these things people talk about. But I felt at heart that you know, this was an outward statement that I had made about how I feel and about how I felt in my relationship with Christ. And then my walk began, because that was just the start. You know, the notion that you get baptized, you receive the Holy Spirit and everything is good. It didn't work that way. The battles continued. So that was basically my experience. And since then, of course, it was a very gratifying day. I could remember just going down. I could remember the pastor who did it. I could remember the occasion. And it was really special in that sense on a day that was an outward declaration of changes that were happening in me for a while. Anna!
And no one was there, right? No one was
there. You know that no one was there, Avon.
Because I wasn't there.
Yeah, no one was there except me and the pastor.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, just me and the pastor went. It was in the evening around like 6-7 in the night, so it was now getting dark. Because we went late in the evening, because that's the time that he could have done it. And yeah, it was just a really private, special thing with him praying and him dipping me in water. Anna?
Yes. So I am not, I have not been baptized in a church. I come from the east of Germany, the former communist East Germany. So there's virtually no religion where I come from. Like, that's not that the culture in that part of the country. So nobody I knew was baptized either. We don't, we were a society of atheists. So that's not a thing that you do. And I don't think, I may have known one person in my entire time in the city where I come from that was baptized.
Wow. So
to me, that was never anything unusual. I never
felt. You actually met someone who was baptized.
Huh?
Wow. You actually met someone who was baptized.
I know one person, well, who I assume was baptized because she's the only one who I knew who came from a sort of Christian household, like who said she was a believer in God. And that's pretty much, and I never asked her about baptism, but I just assumed that she was baptized. That's the only interaction at home I ever had with that. So, but it's interesting because when I started to go to university, I went to Austria to study. And Austria is a very, very old school Christian Catholic society. So there were people who were, when they found out this about me, they were recoiling. They were like literally asking me, the question always went from, what, you're not a Christian? What, you're not, you haven't been baptized? You were not baptized as a child? How does that even work? And I'm like, what do you mean, how does it work? You're born and there you are. But like, what does the water have to do with anything? Like, they were completely shocked and confused. And that was super confusing to me. So then when, many years later now in New York, when my conversion was happening and I was having, you know, all these discussions with Gary and my mind started opening up and like, I felt God was working with me. Like, for a while I wasn't admitting it because I was saying I have Stockholm syndrome, like something weird, like this can't be right. Like, I wasn't admitting it, but something, I always say it was the day like when it started making sense to me, like the Bible all of a sudden became logical. And that's when I felt like my conversion was happening. And then it was funny because we were occasionally going, Gary and I were occasionally going to a little neighborhood church gathering, not a formal like church building, but a group of believers who, you know, with a local pastor would come together for services sometime. And I remember the day after my conversion, walking in there and everybody being so excited and like welcoming and hello sister and whatnot. And I also, again, found that super strange because I felt like I had been spiritually baptized, but that it was because of a very logical thing. Like I didn't understand the celebration around it really. I don't know, maybe something is wrong with me. But, and I always looked at these church baptisms that they were doing and when I was looking into it and found them really, really strange because I was like, I'm already spiritually baptized. So I never really saw the urgency of getting like baptized by being dipped into water in this formal church process. And I always found it to be so ceremonial, but in a way that looked very meaningless to me. Like that didn't look meaningful to me. In fact, the story, Gary, that you tell with just a private person in the ocean, that always appealed to me much more because I was like, the important change has already happened. I almost felt like, is this making a mockery of it, you know, like doing it in this weird ceremonial kind of way. But I have always been curious about it. And that's why I wanted to look deeper into it because I think I know that it's not something that's required of me, but that it's a good thing regardless. But I wanted to know more about it because I really, I'm in two minds and I want to know what the scripture says about it and if I should be doing it. But that's the story in a nutshell.
Really interesting story. I've heard it before, but it's still very interesting because, you know, it took some use, some getting used to a person who grew up in a society where they didn't know anything about this stuff. Because where I'm from, it's like being an atheist is unheard of. You know, there are people who say they don't go to a church or so, but they have some kind of view or belief in God. You know, they believe in a man in the sky, whatever you would call it. So it was very, very interesting meeting someone who didn't even have that type of a belief. And then to see your walk as you continue to grow closer to God. So thanks for sharing each person's story, for each person sharing their story. But what is baptism? What really is baptism, you know? Now that we know that some of us are baptized, some of us are not, some of us have been, but we think we should probably get baptized again. Some of us think, well, maybe we shouldn't. You know, I know that many people here, and you know, we have what, 400 people, just four people. Some of us here may think, well, hopefully by the end of today, we will know for sure, okay, this is what we must do. We must be baptized, or we must be baptized in water, or we must take a plunge this way, or it must be done in the sea. Or maybe it's okay to just sprinkle a little water on us. Or maybe what we should do is go to a river. You know, I know that some of you may be hoping for those answers. But let me warn you up front, you're not going to get them. I'm not going to do the hard work for you. Each person has to do their own work. But what I would like to do today is to share with each person what the scripture says about it. Not what I think or what Eric thinks, or what Rebecca thinks, or Avlon, or Anna. But let's look into the scripture to see what God says about it. And let's not infer stuff, and let's not take stuff out of it. Let's just see what God says and have an open mind. I have my views on it. You will have your own views. You probably have some already. Avalon, you may have your views if you need to be baptized again, or you don't, I don't know. But the thing about it is that it's our personal relationship with God. And I can't profess to understand all the details in the Bible because, quite frankly, they're difficult to understand. Some of it is very, very difficult to understand in the scripture. So we're going to try to see what we could make out of it. And then my hope is that each person would have their own heart spoken to by God, and that you would make the decision or continue with your lifestyle based on what is there. So the thing about it is that, what is baptism? What does it mean? What does the word baptism mean? And I found this interesting when I was preparing. There's no word for baptism in the Bible, contrary to what people think. It's sort of like a formulated word to describe something, but there's no direct Greek translation. So when it was written, it wasn't written as baptism is this, and we know that baptism means this in English. So it's one of those things where the word is there in the scripture, but it's really like a fabricated word, so to speak. So it's very difficult because of that to understand what it really is. That already presents a challenge for us. It comes, however, suspiciously from the word baptizo, but no one knows for certain if it is from that word. And the word baptizo means, and let me see if I can get this off here. Yeah. The word baptizo means an immersion or a sprinkling. Let me take this off because sometimes I get distracted with movement or I can't minimize it, tells me. Let me hide this.
What happened?
Sometimes I get distracted when there's movement and I'm talking because sometimes the person who's moving, their image is on the screen and I have it on the big screen. And so I'm like reacting to the movement. So I'll just hide the screen from me. Yeah. So I was saying baptizo means immersion or sprinkling. The word baptizo means immersion or sprinkling. And it's important for us to keep that in mind because, again, some people tell you your whole body has to go down in the water. Some people say it's not your whole body that has to go down in the water, part of your body can go. To get a little more specific, the translations that I found from the Blue Letter Bible state that baptizo is like to dip repeatedly or to immerse or to submerge. Like in the case of a vessel, a sunken vessel, it's baptismos or baptizo, which is it's submerged in water. Another definition is to cleanse by dipping or submerging, to wash or to make clean with water, or to wash oneself, or to bathe. So to bathe is another way of translating it. And then there's a final translation, which is to overwhelm. And believe it or not, that's the one that I like the most, the one that says to overwhelm, okay? Okay, so baptism is not something that started Avalon. Are you there? Ah, she's probably moving from her car to her house.
No, I think she's driving. It's just the car's on mute. She's waving and driving.
Okay. So I was saying that baptism didn't start when Christ came, contrary to what a lot of people like us to think. When I say it didn't start when Christ came, it's a Jewish practice, believe it or not, contrary to what people think. There's a type of baptism that is a Jewish practice. And it's a practice in some religions outside of Christianity. That concept of immersing in water. In the Jewish religion, they call it mikveh. All right? They call it a mikveh. A mikveh is a place where they build a sort of a, I don't want to call it a pool, but they build a sort of a bath. You know, like those baths, Anna, that they have in those like Russian baths or small bath. You know, sometimes you go to one of those spas and you see those little baths that people dive in cold water and then come out after they go to a sauna. So a mikveh is something like that. It's like a little bath, all right? And the Jews always had that bath because that was a very important part of Jewish culture. Sorry? Anna?
This is for the bar mitzvah you're talking about.
Well, I'll tell you what they have it for. It's so important in Jewish tradition or Jewish religion. It's so important that they usually build that. The Jews, when they move to a new community, they usually build it even before they build a synagogue. So that says a lot. And it's designed in such a way that they take a person and they put them down in it to cleanse them of their sin. But it's usually used for I don't want to say for specific sin. All right? So like when you commit certain things that they consider to make yourself impure, to make you pure again, they have to do those rituals. And like in women's cases, it's done after menstruation or it's done after childbirth because they think that makes a woman impure. In male cases, it's done after, forgive my language, ejaculation to purify the man afterwards. And it's just a traditional procedure. But if you like not a Jew and you want to convert to Judaism, usually you have to get circumcised and you also have to be, you have to be immersed in that ritual, in that mikveh ritual that they have. So they'll immerse you as part of it, that they clean you from all your previous sins. So it's just good to know that because that lays the groundwork for what happens when Christ came. So baptism was something that was done at that time, a form of it then, some kind of form of it with the Jews, even I understand with other religions from what I understand. But before Christ came, there was this guy who was actually doing baptisms too. All right, he had his own baptism that he was doing. And he was doing a different type of baptism. And he didn't build a mikvah as the Jews did, although he was a Jew, but he was actually immersing people in the River Jordan in Israel. He was actually dipping people in the River Jordan and his name was John. And that's how he became known as John the Baptist. So he was doing something called a baptism, which is like an immersion to put people in water and take them out. And his baptism was for a specific purpose. It wasn't for the same purpose that the Jews were doing it for or the other groups were doing it for. It was for a specific purpose. So let's go to the scripture now and see this guy called John, what he was doing, and try to understand that. Now that we have a little bit of a background, now we can understand how John the Baptist became John the Baptist and how he was actually functioning and why he was doing this. Remember, when he started doing this, Christ wasn't hanging out with him at that time. He was doing this to many, many people. So let's go to Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. All right. Let me see if I can. All right. Go to Mark chapter 1 and verse 4. And maybe I could ask one of you guys to read for me. Mark chapter 1, verse 4.
Mm-hmm. 4 to where?
Just verse 4.
Okay. And can I start?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sin. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River.
Okay, thanks. All right, so we're seeing that John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching what? What kind of a baptism was he doing?
A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness
of sins. So immediately what we're seeing is specific here. John was baptizing for a specific purpose. And we have to understand that because that's important to help us to see how why this was happening, because you hear people saying, oh, but John baptized people, so we have to be baptized or whatever, you know. The important thing here to note, is everybody there? Oh, I thought I lost Zoom for a minute. Yeah. The important thing to note is that John was baptizing people for a purpose. And what was that purpose? For the forgiveness of sin, a baptism of repentance. Let's go to Luke 3.
What Luke version 3, are we reading?
The New American Standard Bible.
Okay. You said Luke 3?
Yes, Luke 3 verse 3. Anna, you want to read for us?
And he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet.
Keep on.
The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord. Make his path straight, every ravine will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be brought low. The crooked will become straight, and the rough road smooth, and all the flesh will see the salvation of God.
Okay, but if we go back to verse 3, you want to read it again for us, Anna?
And he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins.
So he was preaching a baptism of repentance and for the forgiveness of sins. I'm stressing this because this is what I want for us to understand, that this baptism that John was doing was a baptism of immersing you in water for the repentance of sins, for repentance and for the forgiveness of sins. Okay? So it was being done for repentance and for repentance. It was a baptism of repentance being done for repentance, for the forgiveness of sin. So you were repenting for the forgiveness of sin. That's what people were supposed to be going to him for. Okay? Now, one of the important things to note here is that Jesus himself was baptized by John. So John was baptizing people black as white all over Israel. And Jesus, just like everybody else was going to John to be baptized, Jesus himself went to John to be baptized. So this makes for a very, very interesting point here, because just think of it. John is a preacher who had a really interesting story. And he was offering a lot of people to be baptized. Some of them were coming for, people were coming for all different reasons, but his baptism was for a purpose, not like all the other baptism. You know, the Jewish ones was like this, that one was for that one was for this, some was for healing physically and so forth. His own was specifically for repentance, for the forgiveness of sins. Let's go to Matthew 3 to see what John was about and how he was baptizing and how Jesus himself was baptized. I thought it would be good for us to look at that, because I think that's a really, really powerful story so that we can understand what was going on there. So let's go to John chapter 3. Eric, you want to read for us?
Yes. John or Matthew?
Matthew chapter 3. Oh, Avalon is back with us. We're glad that we have you. We're sorry that you lost us, Avalon. Eric, go ahead.
Yes,
Matthew 3, we're reading the whole chapter, so I'll stop you at a certain point.
Okay. In those days...
You're using the North American Standard Bible?
Sorry.
No problem.
North American...
So guys, we're building up to something with baptism here. So this is why it's important for us to try and understand each thing that we're doing. Avalon, while you were away, we went through John, who was baptizing people in the Jordan. And now we're going to look at the whole of chapter 3 of Matthew, to better understand how Christ was baptized and what John was doing. Because we need to understand what John was doing first before we're able to move forward. Avalon, you with us?
Yeah, what version are you using?
The North American, the New American Standard Bible, NASB.
New American. All right. Okay.
Okay.
Matthew.
The preaching of John the Baptist. Now in those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the hand of the is the one referred by Isaiah the prophet when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'"
Okay, so hold on. So we see in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah prophesied this when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness," meaning John the Baptist, "make ready the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." Keep on going, Eric.
"Now, John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a little belt around his waist. And his food was locust and wild honey."
Imagine this.
Anna?
Yeah?
John wasn't doing fine dining, all right? You know John was doing? You see what
the
John
wild, was, you know, the wild honey I could get with, but the insects?
Locust. He was eating locust. Do you believe this? He had camel's hair, a garment of camel's hair, a leather belt, and eaten locust. Keep going, Eric.
Okay. "Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea, and all the district around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, as they confessed their sin."
So we could say John was literally baptizing people like water, as we say in front of that. That means baptizing people a lot. People was rushing down there to be baptized, to confess their sins. Isn't that interesting? That's what they were being baptized for. This has nothing to do with the other part of it, and that's what I'm trying to get at. They were baptized, being baptized as they confessed their sins. for the forgiveness of sins. Keep going, Eric.
Okay. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourself, 'We have Abraham for our father,' for I say to you that from these stones, God is able to raise up children to Abraham."
Okay, hold on 1 second. So you see, John, even the Pharisees and the Sadducees who eventually killed him, even they were going to be baptized by him. Because John was considered a great man. Christ said that the Bible says that there wasn't a greater man who lived than John the Baptist. Okay? So, except for Christ, of course. But the thing about it is that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were these staunch Jewish people, even they were running down by him. Why? Because they hear the water baptism and you've been baptized for the forgiveness of sins. So they're like, well, if we could get baptized, then we get a free pass. We don't have any sin to carry. We don't have to go through this, all these rituals and do all these kinds of things. But what he said to them, he said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" What was the wrath he was talking about? Is it the fire? "Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance." In other words, go out there and repent. He was preaching about a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So they were coming without repenting. So he told them, "Get away, don't come. Go back and repent first and then come."
Can I ask something?
Sure.
What made John the Baptist do this? And why were people coming to him? Like, what gave him the credibility for people to come to, and not, because I'm just imagining this is the first time somebody ever did that. You're like, there's some crazy person dipping people in water and telling them they have to repent. Like, what gave him that credibility? Why did people have faith in him doing that?
Well, actually,
I've had that same question.
Right.
That good. Same exact question.
Good. Well, that's what I'm saying. Remember, I gave you all the background on baptism.
Right.
There were several different kinds of baptisms at that time, and he was doing one. But remember, he was a powerful man of God. So he was doing a different type of baptism. He was doing a baptism for the remission of sins, for a baptism of repentance, for the forgiveness of sins. People wanted their sins to be forgiven. So he was a man of God, but he was sent for a purpose. Remember, God, he was chosen by God to lay the groundwork for Christ. So he was actually laying the groundwork for Christ. And in laying that groundwork for Christ, he was baptizing people up front. And then we will see as the narrative go on how what happened when it came to that. So he was actually crying out in the wilderness. He was telling people, there's somebody coming and you need to be baptized before this guy comes. So he was preaching the Messiah, believe it or not. But he was preaching the repentance to prepare the way for the Messiah. It's like if with all the disaster that is going on now, let's say somebody started preaching that we have to prepare for the Messiah right now, and they're doing some kind of thing out there. That
Gary? Serve. Gary?
I just saw her.
Okay.
Jen? Yeah, I just let her in. Hi, Jen.
Yes. Hi, Jen.
So John was preparing the way.
Hi, Jen.
Jen, our topic today is baptism. Let me see if I could tell her to unmute. She probably doesn't know. Yeah, John is just mentioning to you our topic today is baptism, all right? Because I know you're not coming in. Yeah, so John was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And as I said, there were probably other baptism groups going on, but John's own was becoming big time because God had inspired him and he was preparing the way for Christ to come. He was actually preaching that the Messiah that you're waiting on is coming, and I am preparing the way for him. So this would have spurred people to come. Of course, nobody knew how the Messiah was going to come. All right, Anna?
So this baptism of water for your sins, mm-hmm, started with John. That's when it started?
Okay, I think you missed what it is. I gave a background on baptism, and I was saying that baptism is not a word that is translated in the Bible. It's a word that is created in English because there's no direct translation. So what I was explaining is that it didn't start with John. There were baptisms at that time. The Jews have a form of baptism that they call the mikveh, all right?
I remember that.
Right, I was explaining that. So yeah. John was another person doing this immersion in water. He was another person doing it.
So what you're saying is, whereas the Jews were doing it to cleanse,
For
example, because a woman had her menstruation or for the reasons you said, this was the first time he did it for a spiritual cleansing, essentially.
Yes, but what I'm no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, let me see if I can qualify. What I'm saying is that it's a practice. It's like discipleship at that time was a practice. People had disciples. Christ wasn't the first person to come and just tell a person, hey, follow me, and they went. Discipleship was a system of community at that time. Baptism, I believe, from the research that I've done, was something that happened. It wasn't called baptism, but it was ritualistic cleaning, ritualistic cleansing of people. And for the Jews, it was the mikveh. They used to have, they still do it, the Jews. They have a mikveh, which is a sort of a bath, and they immerse you in that. It's a principle of immersion. They immerse you in that and take you out, and they do it on specific occasions for people, some of which I mentioned, like if you convert to Judaism or if you're a woman, going through your menstruation period and that kind of thing, okay? But there were other religious groups that probably had their own rituals of immersion. In other words, the concept of a ritual of immersion for some kind of cleansing or purity, or maybe to get a motor car, well, they didn't have cars in those days, or a horse or something, those things existed at that time. But John was doing a different kind of immersion. He was immersing people for the forgiveness of sins, with the philosophy of if you repent, you will be forgiven of your sins. In the Jewish religion, it's not really that repent of what you have done and you're forgiven for your sins. It's that you're dirty as a result of what you've done. I put you in this bath and take you out and you're now clean. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we tend to think that John sat down home and designed a structure of, oh, I could come up with an idea on how to, and I call it baptism, I'll take people down by the river and put them in water. I don't think that's how it happened. I think what happened is John had his own baptism that he was doing, which was a baptism for the repentance of sins. So it's like if I said, I'm going to do a baptism for repentance of sins, and people are like, what is that about? I'm like, oh, the Messiah is coming and I'm creating a path for him. And everybody's like, oh, okay, let me get immersed in that water and clean my sins. And people started coming, and they were coming in droves. And all over Jordan, wherever the scripture goes on to show you, wherever he found water, more baptisms was going on. And then those who were coming, who he sensed, he knew that the Pharisees were gonna, he probably knew that the Pharisees were gonna kill Christ, because remember he was, and so he told them, go back and repent before you come. But the point that I'm trying to get is that this is a water baptism that he was doing. I'm using the word baptism in inverted commas, because it wasn't called a water baptism. That was created after. The word baptism came after. It was an immersion in water for the forgiveness of sins, for the repentance and the forgiveness of sins. So let's continue reading from verse 7, all right? Anna, you want to help us now?
Where are we? Sorry, I just put the app down.
From verse 10.
Are we still in Matthew 3?
Yes, Matthew 3, verse 10.
Which translation?
NASB.
Okay.
New American Standard Bible.
The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire.
Okay, so if you stop right here, remember what we're seeing is that the Pharisees, it's interesting that John told the Pharisees here, don't suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that from these stones, God is able to raise up children to Abraham. Remember, that's the Pharisees' comfort zone. Anytime anybody tells them anything, that's what they say. Oh, Abraham is our father. Who you think you are? They said that to Christ. David is our man. You know, who are you? All right? Because that's how the Pharisees function. And he knew that that's how they function. Anytime anybody said anything, they quickly referred to the prophets as if they were the heirs to the prophets. No? So he was telling them, that ain't good enough. Because God is the one who raised up Abraham. And God can raise up anybody. Go and repent. Keep going, Anna.
As for me, I baptize you.
Okay, so one second, right? Very important. As for me, I baptize you. So John is telling them, bring forth fruits fit for repentance. This is not about Abraham as your father. And I'll tell you something. I am baptizing you. I ain't better than Abraham or any one of those guys. But then he goes on to say, as for me, Anna.
As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Oh.
So right there, John is actually telling us about three baptisms. You see how baptisms, these immersions were like popular. So he's saying, listen, I am immersing you with water for repentance, only for repentance. Because the baptism that John was doing could not do anything more for you. It wasn't about going beyond that. So he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than me, and I am not fit to even remove his sandals. This is a scripture that makes me feel to cry because it's so powerful. Because the more you get into it, the more you understand the humility of John and God's prophets. And then when you think of God's prophets, when you think of John and his humility to say that, this is a man who people were coming to in droves to be baptized. People were saying he's a prophet. Some were saying he might be Elijah came back. He was big time in his stuff, all right? And here he was saying to them, chill, I ain't nobody. I am just preparing the way for someone who will come and baptize you with something, not this water that I'm baptizing you with, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And this is the third baptism, because one can argue again, as I say, my purpose is not to make anybody think what it is I'm thinking. It's just to share with you, but everybody has their relationship with God. But he says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. A lot of these words are not clear in the translations. So some people will tell you that the fire is this or the fire is that. It's not crystal clear. And I think God deliberately makes it that way so that you could go to your Bible when we're done and study it and really meditate on it and try to understand from God what it really is, rather than just listen to any preacher or anybody saying, it means that, and that's what it means, and you have to do it. So let's continue with verse 12.
I have a question.
Sure.
The repentance that these people were repenting, I wonder if they were really repenting or they were just being caught up in the excitement of John being baptized. Or I wonder if God was calling them to repentance.
There's something to observe here. This is, he says, I baptize you with water. It's a good question. I baptize you with water for repentance. What is repentance?
Repentance is turning away from your sin.
Repentance is really changing your mind.
Changing your mind, right.
So changing your mind. He was baptizing them with water for them to change their mind and for the forgiveness of their sins of the past. With repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That's what he's baptizing them for. But that has nothing to do with that has absolutely nothing to do with a more important thing that is to come, which we will talk about later. And that's really exciting when we get to that point, because this is baptism with water for repentance. Rebecca, welcome.
She's still connecting.
Ah, okay.
Now it's connected.
Hi, Rebecca.
Is she on mute?
Yeah, ask her to unmute. Hello, Rebecca.
You're on mute.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
Hi.
I'm okay. I was rushing.
it's so nice of you to be here now, because what happened is I just need to tell you this because I want you to understand. Remember last week, we were talking about stuff and you were asking about baptism and you were saying that we should be baptized. And it so happened, Rebecca, that when you had said that a few days before, Anna told me that at her session, she wanted to do baptism. So when you said that, I was like, wow, it looked like if the Spirit is working with us, because Anna said this before you had actually said it. So I was working on a session for her topic. So what happened is when you said it, I was like, okay, so that means two people are really interested. I think Avalon mentioned that she was interested too. And then Z was not going to be able to come today because she got a job.
So
I was like, okay, this is great. I can use this time to talk about first our baptism as our Bible study. So we've been studying baptism. So we're talking about baptism. I'm so sorry that you're only now joining us, but still, it's great that you're here. All right?
Okay, thanks.
All right, great. So yeah, so we got to the point where we were talking about the baptism that will come, and we will talk about our baptism. John was pointing everybody to that. Anna, continue now. Avalon, is that okay? Does that answer what you asked?
Yes, yes. Okay,
yes. So I go with 12 now?
Yes.
Or should I repeat 11?
You could go with, well, yeah, do from 11.
As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Guys, just forgive me. I just find this is such a beautiful scripture again. I know I said it just now, but the humility of John to say, I am not fit to remove his sandals. Think about that, because I am not fit to remove John's sandals. And that John would say he's not fit to remove the one who's to come his sandals. When he's such a big time man, you know, all these crowds coming to him to be baptized, and he could think that way. And it's only the Spirit of God that could put that in you. Because without the Spirit of God, there's no way in that position he could be feeling that way. And I love that scripture so much. But anyway, getting carried away.
Isn't it also really interesting, though, that he said Christ will come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, because fire is the opposite of water.
Exactly. Magnificent observation.
He's saying, I do basically the
opposite,
the less sophisticated version.
See, that's an observation that I didn't even look at. That's really good. And instantly, as you said, it ties in with what we will cover with fire later on.
I found that stuck out to me when I first read it, because it's like, I use water, he will use the Holy Spirit and fire. So I thought that's really interesting.
Keep going.
His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
That's it. We'll talk about that a little bit later on, but keep going.
What chapter are you guys reading? Sorry. Oh, yeah.
We in Matthew, the New American Standard Bible, Matthew 3. And we're now at verse 13.
All right.
So now we see what John was doing. And now we see how Christ got baptized. So Christ came, remember, as a Jew. John was baptizing. John was a Jew. And people were running down to John to be baptized. But John wasn't the institutional Jewish people in the synagogue doing his thing. He wasn't using the mikveh. He was just baptizing in the River Jordan. Okay? And let's see what happens next in verse 13.
Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?
Hold on right there. Isn't that interesting? Jesus comes to John to be baptized. And what does John do? He's like, no, I can't baptize you. And then Christ says, I have need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? John says, I have need to be baptized. But why did he say that to Christ? Remember, if let's assume hundreds of thousands of people were coming at him to be baptized, how did he know, you know, this is somebody different coming in? How could he who was baptizing everybody and telling them, go back, repent, and then come again? How could he have just known that Christ was that this was somebody special and says that to him? It must have been a spiritual connection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? And so he said, I have need to be baptized by you. That means, you know what that means? He knew who was coming to him. Keep going, Anna.
But Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time.
Stop. For... When? Stop. When did Jesus say this? He says, permit it when?
At this time.
Now.
Go ahead, Anna, and then we'll take Rebecca when you finish the quote.
Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.
Okay, so there was a purpose why Christ went to John to be baptized. He went so that it could fulfill all righteousness. The righteousness that was written about before. The righteousness pertaining to Christ fulfilling all that he came to do. So he said it was fitting, permitted for this time. For in this way, it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he permitted him to do it. Rebecca, you were asking or saying something?
No. I was saying, in my version, say now, right now, suffer it to be so now.
Right. Perfect. Anna?
Yeah.
Continue.
Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him.
You take a time out there. That's exactly why I tell you I was waiting for the dove.
Oh, yeah.
But no dove didn't show up for me. But I thought this is interesting, because you know, he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. You know, this spectacular thing happened to Christ. But he is Jesus the Christ. Okay? Mm-hmm. Keep going in 17.
And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Now in those days, John...
What is that? Somebody pressed the key on their
phone.
That was okay. Me. Sorry.
So a voice out of the heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jen and Rebecca, when we started, we shared our stories of if we were baptized, what kind of experience it was for us, okay? Each person shared it. And whilst you all didn't hear it because you just came, if you don't mind, it would be nice if you could share your stories with us as to if you're baptized, when you got baptized, what it was like, what kind of feeling you got, if any at all. If you could just share it with us.
Okay. Rebecca, do you want to go first or?
Well, it was... joyous experience for me, a real spiritual experience. It was just, you know, I felt a renewal in my life. You all hearing me?
Yes.
I felt renewed. I felt a changed person, if I should say that.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask, how did it happen for you? If I'm prying too much, stop me. But can I ask, how did it happen? How did your baptism happen? How long ago was it? You know, what happened? You know, was it that you were born and baptized at 5, like one of us had? Or was it that
I baptized, like, my daughter is 21, like 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And of course it was water baptism, but before I was baptized, we had like Bible study, letting us, you know, helping us to understand, you know, the Christian life and, you know, getting what's the purpose of getting baptized, and, you know, along that line. And, yeah, prepare me, you know, to prepare me for this spiritual journey.
Did you get baptized in a church, in a river, in a pool?
No, in church. In a pool, yeah.
Was it like a sprinkling, or was it like an immersion? How was it?
Immerged.
So you got fully immersed, your entire body?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks for sharing that with us. Jen?
Mm-hmm. It was funny because when I was cleaning out my file cabinet, this is my, like, baptismal certificate.
Let me see that again.
Wow.
Well, how can we make you bigger in the screen?
I guess I have to talk so you can see me at the same time.
Nice.
Yeah. When I was cleaning it out, it was by my birth certificate and other important papers, so it's right here next to my desk.
How long ago was that, Jen?
That was in 1991.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's almost 30 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, this is in what, if I could ask, what church?
Bethel United Pentecostal Church. It's where I still go to church.
Ah, so even from small, you were Pentecostal.
Yeah. Yeah. My whole life.
So you don't have the Eric Gary story, which is where your parents were Catholics.
No. It's my mom. My mom grew up Baptist, and then at some point she became Pentecostal, like in the 70s. Mm. So, yeah, I guess at this point I'm second generation Pentecostal by now. But yeah, I was a child, but I was old enough to understand what baptism meant. And they had a series of Bible studies and things that, you know, you have like a separate kids version of church where you take the kids aside and, you know, during Sunday school, like that kind of thing, with Thursday night classes. Mm-hmm. And I understood that baptism it corresponded with you identifying with the death of Jesus. And mm-hmm. I wanted to be a part of that. And so I told my family, and they talked about it. And, you know, we talked about it at church to make sure I really understood and I was ready. And I remember that was one of the last times, like, I guess my grandfather came to church with us before he passed away. They came to my baptism. And the baptismal was, like, upstairs in the church. And you put on this, like, you change your clothes, you put on a robe, and it was in full immersion. And, you know, they said, "I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins," and they dip you in the water. And I just remember the water being really cold. And I tried to, like, not flail around because I couldn't, you know. I was worried I was going to, like, drown in the baptismal. Because they tell you hold your breath and you hold your nose. Like, you do, like, this exactly. Kind of thing. And go down, right? And that was my concern. I was like, I want to do this, but I don't want to drown getting baptized. Because it was a large tub of water.
Did you wear a white dress?
Sorry, Jen, was this in a tub?
Yeah, they have like a giant baptismal tank.
Okay. I think you were talking about.
No,
was
I think the robes
significant. I wonder if she wore a white dress.
No, the robes were like maroon. It was whatever color, baptismal color robes they had.
Okay, I wore white.
Okay. I wore white too.
Yes.
Yeah, we baptized in a white robe.
Interesting. Thanks for sharing with us, Jen.
Okay,
so we saw, Anna, I thought this would be interesting for you to hear different experiences. Now, we spoke about John and how he was baptizing, but I have a question for you guys. The baptism that John was performing, as we saw it there, and I know Jan and Rebecca came in a little later, so we covered quite a lot in the period of time. I wouldn't summarize it because I think you guys may know some of what we covered, but basically we're talking about how baptism emerged and where it's at right now. But from what we've read so far, guys, would you all say that the baptism that John is telling us about here, John, that this baptism, I'm asking the question, was it a physical baptism or a spiritual baptism, John's baptism?
A physical one.
That's my question. Anna, you think it's physical? You think it's physical?
I'm going to go physical as well.
Physical. Yeah, I think
I think it's physical.
I think it's very interesting, but the way that we look at it now, I think I am leaning that way because it seems like it was a physical type of experience. And Christ asked the Pharisees a little bit about this because it's an important question, even though it seems like a very simple question. Let's go to Matthew 21, verses 23 to 27. I'm going to ask for a new reader.
Matthew what?
Matthew 21, verses 23 to 27. Okay. Someone, would someone read for us? Jen, you want to try? You want
sure.
To
ask? Okay. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing those things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from what source? From heaven or from men?" And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we fear the people, for they all regard John as a prophet." And answering Jesus, they said, "We do not know." He also said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things."
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You know, Christ himself was presenting that question to them, you know. What was the source of John's baptism? You know, was it a physical thing? Was it a spiritual thing? You know, was it from heaven or was it from men? Was John just a guy out there in the water just baptizing people? Remember, they were not supposed to identify with John because they were like thinking that they're better in the synagogue, sitting with them first and stuff like that. So the thing about it is that Christ posed the question to them and they didn't care about the honesty of the answer. They were just thinking, which is the shrewdest answer to give, and they couldn't find one. Why do you think that this was a question that Christ asked, guys? I mean, I'm looking for help from you all too. Why do you think this was a question that Christ asked, and why do you think he answered them the way that he did?
I think he wanted them to really think about it, you know? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the times when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the scribes, he was calling out just their traditions of men, their religiosity, and not that they were actually following what the word of God had said. And, you know, so because everyone regarded John as a prophet, it's like, well, if you believe he's a prophet, why weren't you listening to what he said? You know, you say you listen to all these other prophets from the Old Testament, but if you regard this man, why didn't you listen to him too?
Yeah.
So that's how I see it, is like him just ruffling their feathers just to get them to realize. They were like, wait a second, if I say it's from God, then I should have been obeying, but if I say it's from men, then, you know, but I know he's a prophet. And they just were like, you know what, they just didn't want to challenge him anymore on that.
You know, how many times have people asked us questions and the first thing we think, trick question. You know, trick question, this is a trick question. They're not thinking of answering the question or the honesty or the integrity of the question, or, you know, what are the reasons John was offering this baptism? They're only thinking, hey, you know what? How could we answer that we sound smart or that we don't put the people against us? Not the honesty. I love what you said there, Jen, because sometimes in the script here, we start thinking there must be some deep-rooted meaning too. And sometimes the meaning is obvious to us. And they may have other meanings there, but I completely like what it is you said there. I like that thought because I think, yeah, basically just be honest. What do you think? Was it, say what you think, you know? It's a question. So Christ said, well, if you don't even want to be honest with your answer in dealing with me, why must I answer you?
Why would I tell you?
Exactly. Yeah. Any other thoughts on this particular scripture? Okay. Well, going twice. Going three times. Let's go to Luke 12:49. I want to share something with you from Luke 12:49.
49?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to read 49 and 50.
Oh, that's a long chapter. Wow.
Yeah.
Could I read?
Yeah. My question before you start reading this is, you know, did Christ come to bring peace?
Of course.
No, that's what we always think, all right? But read Luke 12, 49 and 50.
I think the peace that he came to bring was the peace inside, not in the world.
Very, very interesting. Let's read verse 49 and verse 50.
Should I read?
Yeah.
I have come to cast fire upon the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled.
He didn't just come to cast fire. He says, you wish it was burning already. You know, I came to burn down the place. And I wish it was burning already. I can't wait for it to burn. Go ahead.
But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you, no, but rather division.
Wow.
For from now on, five members in one household will be divided. Three against two and two against three. Wow. Should I keep reading?
Yes.
They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law.
You can stop there, okay? You can stop there. Just read again the first two lines, the first two verses, 49 and 50.
I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished.
Okay. So remember at the start, what I said is that I'm not here to tell you that this is baptism, this is how you have to do it. You must be immersed in water, or you must just take a sprinkle on your head. You have to go to a river like John the Baptist or like Christ did. I have people saying all these things. Some people say, no, you don't have to go to a river. You should go to the sea. I got baptized in the ocean when I got baptized. I got baptized in the ocean as I shared my experience earlier. But I'm not here to tell you that. What I do know is that we have to be baptized. All right, amen. Whether that is with water or not,
why?
I'm not going to say it is or it isn't supposed to be with water. I'm going to tell you, I got baptized because I felt at the time that that was what I had to do. You have to, in other words, your desire to be baptized with water must be within you and in your relationship with God. That's why it's not for me to tell you, oh, you have to be baptized and you must go and do it. It's for you to study the scripture, and the more you come into the understanding, then you will fly to do it. You know, what I'm saying is that this is your relationship with God. But I know that I am baptized with the Holy Spirit, which is pivotal, all right? But then there's the baptism of fire, as you saw. There's the baptism with water. There's the baptism with the Holy Spirit. There's the baptism of fire. And I'm not going to tell you that the baptism of fire is the tribulation that we go through in the world after we get baptized. I'm not going to say that. It could be that. It could also be the baptism of fire is Gehenna fire, the ultimate fire that you go into. Because when you understand what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, which we will talk about just now, then you will see that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not the baptism with water. The baptism with water is for repentance. The baptism with the Holy Spirit is for life. It's for eternal life. So even if you got baptized with water, but you're not baptized with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have eternal life, because eternal life is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about that as we go along. I know we're running out of time.
But that is what John said. He said he's baptizing with water. But there, I now understand there comes one after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
And fire, exactly.
Fire. So that... That explains that.
But I'm not a genius. I'm just a little man trying to understand the word of God and asking God to show it to me and to show it to each of us. So I can't definitively tell you things that some people will want, you know. Well, tell me what I have to do. I just have to go and get baptized and that's it. No, I can't say that. Your relationship with God is important. But as I understand scripture, I could share my understanding with you and you with me. But at the end of the day, even if I told you had to be baptized with water and you went and get baptized with water and you didn't believe it, it really doesn't matter. It's your relationship with God and your understanding of his word and your understanding of the scripture. And I could only tell you what I think it means to me. So yes, I am baptized and I think that it's great to be baptized. And even if the experience is a physical one, another spiritual one in terms of water baptism, hey, I look at it like the Sabbath. You know, if I keep the Sabbath, it's my relationship with God if I feel I should keep it. So we will continue and then afterwards we can have all the questions. Let's look at this part, all right? So we saw where John was there, Christ came, we saw Christ during his lifetime dealing with the Pharisees, and we saw all these issues and then telling us about what he came for and the fire that will be on the earth and stuff like that. We know about Gehenna fire, but now what happened after Christ died when he was resurrected? Okay, remember, between the time that he was resurrected and the time that he ascended into heaven, he roamed on the face of the earth. Okay, everybody agree with that?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So did he share anything with us during that period of time about baptism? Because remember, up until that time, people had not been baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were only being baptized with
water.
All right. But now he's resurrected from the dead. He isn't gone up as yet, but he has some words for us. So let's go to Acts 1, and let's read Acts 1. I know this is Jen's baby. Because
I love Acts. My favorite book of the Bible.
Probably found it already.
Oh, Jen was there even before I...
I know.
I know, I already have it up.
Act 1, and let's get a reader. Somebody wants to read for us from verse 1.
I could read.
Yeah, read. You have a little bit of reading to do, so keep going. I'll tell you when to stop.
Okay.
Now, just to give you a little background, a lot of people think that Acts was written by Paul, but it's highly likely it was done by Luke. All right. Some of Luke's writings were on behalf of Paul, and some of them were on behalf of himself. Like he wrote the book of Luke. And a lot of scholars say that he wrote a part of Acts, if not most of Acts. But he wrote that and some of it was on behalf of him, of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And then some of the other books were like Paul's books, but Luke may have been the writer when Paul was like dictating, and Luke may have been writing. He might have had people writing for him. So let's go to Acts 1, verse 1. And we go down to 11, okay? But let's start with verse 1.
Okay. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, which you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
Okay, so he was there and he was telling them, you heard from me, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Note, you will be baptized for not many days from now. Keep on going, Avlon.
So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? He said to them.
Okay, hold on. So now, remember, he had died and he was resurrected, and they're asking him, okay, because remember the excitement over his ministry was to a certain extent that he was going to be the king. He was going to restore Israel. Some of them thought it was going to be with violence, and they're like, oh, well, we thought he was gone when he died. We got scared, but now he's resurrected. Oh, yes, we're going to take over now, you know? So they're like, hey, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? All right, it's so human how we think.
He said to them, It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority.
And this is a good point for me to just make here as an aside. A lot of people always tell you the world is going to end at this time. When people ask you, when is the world going to end? You know, oh, it's on the 23rd of January, 2025. The Bible clearly says that it's not for us to know. You know, it is not for you to know the times or epoch which the Father has fixed by his own authority, okay? But go on, Al.
For you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking in the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven.
Isn't that magnificent? You know, he just went up there and then they were like, he will come back down one day. But then he clearly said to them, Chilpil, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Okay? So,
So my understanding of it is that is when Jesus ascended into heaven, he said he's going to send his Holy Spirit, right? So when we are baptized in water, right, we wash away our sins and we renewed with the Holy Spirit of God. We supposed to come up renewed with that Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what gonna guide us through our Christian journey.
Right, and I agree with you. I just don't know if the sequence is as we dip down there that happens. I know this was preached, but what I'm saying is that these guys were baptized with water long before that. They were baptized with water when John was here.
But when John was here,
Christ
wasn't ascended yet into heaven.
Right.
So then they could not have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came when Jesus said, I will send my Holy Spirit after I am ascended into heaven, then I will send the Holy Spirit to you.
Exactly. So the sequence where there's this notion that when you're in the water there and you come up, you'll get the sensation because the Spirit will come over you.
No.
I'm not saying you're saying that.
No, the Holy Spirit now is going to guide you. After you wash away your sins, then the Holy Spirit is going to guide you through your Christian journey. That's how I see it.
Right. Well, for me, and I understand what you're saying, but for me, you know, the baptism with water is for repentance and for the forgiveness of sins.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is then for, when you receive the Holy Spirit, that's for another purpose. And we're going to get there too. All right?
Right.
We're going to get there too.
It's two different things, right?
Yes, it's two different parts then.
Go
ahead, John.
On the day of Pentecost, which comes in further in chapter 2, it was a separate experience. And then there's instances where they show where the people received the Holy Ghost first, and then they were baptized after. So it's not that you have to do it in this particular order, but that it's something to be done, you know, like as a part of the process.
Can I read Matthew 28, verse 19?
Let's go there.
What, Rebecca?
Matthew 28. Yeah, let's look
at verse 19.
Wait, you got it? Yeah. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So this is what I'm seeing here is, you know, the disciples, you go out, you teach people, and who wants to accept Christ, they get baptized. And then you baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, meaning that, you know, you washed away from all your sins, you repent and you washed away from all your sins, and now you come up in newness of life. You receive that Spirit in newness of your life, the new life that you now accept. The Holy Spirit, now you're going to go with the Holy Spirit to guide you.
Okay.
I could be wrong. Let me know.
No, I completely agree with what you're saying there. This is a little funny. That was my closing. That was my closing verse you just brought forward there, Rebecca. I have that to the last thing that I would talk about. But
I jump ahead.
It's okay. You skipped straight to the top of the group. But that's okay. All right. So we will get to that too. But yes, I completely agree with what you're saying. You read it in the scripture there.
Okay.
Did the Jews, however, that were baptized by John, did they get eternal life? That's my question to the group.
Some of them were rebaptized.
I'm sorry?
Some of them were rebaptized.
Right, but my question is, the ones who were baptized by John, did they at that point get eternal life?
If it was true repentance.
That's what I'm trying to get. I'm glad that you said that, because that's what I'm trying to say. That baptism that John was doing had nothing to do with eternal life. That was for repentance.
Repentance.
And you don't get the gift of eternal life because of repentance. Mm-hmm. The gift of eternal life is a gift.
Yeah.
It's not something that you earn. But when you repent, but repentance is a condition that God brings you to, because even when we start, repentance is not an event. It's a process. Like a lot of people think, well, I've repented, so I'm okay. No, you repentance is not an event. It's not like you're living your life that way. You repent today, and that means you're good for the rest of your life.
No.
You have to live in a state of repentance. Mm-hmm. So the baptism that John did was for repentance, for the forgiveness of sins. But that did not forgive you for the sins that you committed in the future. That did not give you eternal life. That was just for what you did in the past. You understand what I'm saying now? So what I'm saying is that baptism, the water baptism, is not a baptism that gives you, you can't get eternal life from water baptism. That's the point that I'm raising. The Spirit, the baptism with the Holy Spirit is a different story. Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what leads to eternal life.
Uh-huh.
You seeing what I'm saying? So what confuses me a lot with Christian religions is that we walk around stressing the water baptism as if that's what really matters. And just like in the days of John, people flock to the churches and believe that if they get dipped in this water, because falsely a lot of people tell them that means that they're saved. Scripture don't say that.
Gary, you know what I think about when you say that?
What?
That just made it so beautifully clear. When you were a baby.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to share that or if you might, but that just reminded me of that.
In Catholicism, all right, they believe that if you die without being baptized, you will become a zombie, basically.
A duen,
because what that means is that you wouldn't have eternal life, so you'll roam the earth for eternity in a terrible state, and basically you're going to hell or the purgatory. All right, and so because they believe that when you're born, they baptize you as early in life. You have no idea about God or belief in God or anything, but your parents they take you, and I remember, no, I don't remember because I was too young. When I was 8 years old, okay? 8 days old, sorry.
8 days.
When I was 8 days old as a baby, okay? My parents are Catholic. They said I started to turn blue. And within a space of a few hours, I was completely blue. And my mom looked at me and she was like, the kid is going to die. And my father came home from work and he was like, oh boy, the boy is going to die. And he looked at my mother and he said, well, you know, we were poor. So he said, the doctor or the priest, because he's going to die. And my mother's like, we don't want him to turn a zombie when he dies. So let's carry him to the church. So they rushed me off to the church instead of taking me to the doctor. And at the church, when the priest saw me, he was like, we need to baptize this guy immediately. All right. And he's like, they're like, but he has no godparents, nothing. That's the process, all right? He has no godparents. They're like, it's okay. Let's just look outside. And who you see passing, just tell them if they want to be a god. And they looked outside and they saw this girl, school girl passing. And they said, you want to be a godmother? And she was like, oh, yeah. So come. I went in the church and they baptized me. And she became my godmother, all right? And they believed that if I had died right after that, I'd be okay. I'd go to heaven. Because of what they did with that physical thing on me as a baby, I didn't have a clue of. I'm saying that there's all these crazy things that people believe in the world. And my mother up to today will tell me, see, we try to protect you from being a zombie. So I'm just saying that, you know, they have all these ritualistic beliefs. Thanks for bringing that to mind, Anna. They have all these ritualistic things that are done. And in the world, people place all the emphasis on that instead of, you know, as John was saying, the repentance for the forgiveness of sins and the baptism with the Holy Spirit for eternal life. You know, this is what it is about. It's about receiving that gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not about these physical things. And I know that, yes, God may institute, okay, the symbolism of that dipping in water is really supposed to be a proclamation from you that I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You know, it's a proclamation that you're making publicly.
Yeah.
Not just that, oh, I have to be soaked down with some water, because it goes deeper than that. And as you know, the water is supposed to be symbolic and so forth. But I just think we put the emphasis on the wrong thing. Okay, I know we're running out of time, so we need to keep going. Let's go to Acts 11. Did we read Acts 11 already?
I think we did.
No, we were in Acts 1, I think.
Okay, so I want to go to Acts 11. This is such an exciting topic, and especially for... Oh, and Jen, wait, before we go to Acts 11, Jen had mentioned just now that some people get baptized again. And that's true. You know, sometimes some people, like, for example, what Avalon said. Are you okay?
I just got the smell, so I have to cover.
Yeah, I noticed you look like if you were not too well. Yeah, okay, good. So well, that might be good that you're getting a smell. So that means
it's a chemical smell.
Oh, the same smell. Okay. I thought it was a new one.
No.
Yeah. So you know, Avalon had COVID, so she still hasn't gotten her smell senses back. Yeah.
I smell like chemicals sometimes, and it makes me nauseous.
Yeah, it's a struggle for her. Right. So Jen mentioned that sometimes people get baptized a second time because they realize sometimes afterwards that, you know, I really got baptized with water, but I didn't have a clue as to what it was. Or maybe, Jen, you want to tell us for other reasons they do it.
No, I was going to say, I think most people, well, the scriptural verse I was going to talk about was the people who were baptized with John's baptism got baptized again, the way the apostles had described the baptism. But people that I know that have been baptized again in life, where people like in your situation, you know, their parents may have sprinkled them or had them christened or something like that, and then when they got older, they're like, no, I want to acknowledge, I want to be a part of this, I want this to be my decision, you know. And exactly. So that's when they go and get baptized again.
Well, truthfully, I don't even consider that it happened to me to be a baptism.
No, I know, but some people feel it as, you know, that was their baptism experience. And then when they read the word and they're like, no, I want to be baptized. And so they do it again.
Okay, so let's go to Acts 11. And whose turn is it to read now? Eric?
I was going to say, Eric's quiet.
Did some reading for us earlier, but maybe we could ask him to help us out here now.
Which verse?
From verse 1.
Okay.
This one is a little long, so we're going to read through as much as we could, and if and then we'll get to the message that I want to share.
Okay. Now the apostle and the brethren who were throughout Judea hear that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him.
Okay, guys, just hold on one second here, Eric. Just to give you a little background. Remember, when Christ was here, he was preaching predominantly Jews. Everything was Jewish at that time, okay? And so now all of this was being done to a large extent in the Israelite community, okay? And as you know, the Israelites were following Judaism, so that everything was being done to the Jews. So now we're seeing something a little different happening. Keep going. Okay. Eric?
Yes, yes.
From verse 3, saying?
No, because, sorry, I was speaking about something.
Okay, tell us.
Is it possible to take one minute to pray for Avalon?
Absolutely, that's a great thought. I ran through my...
I was thinking so about that, and I was even lost that maybe we should pray for her.
That's really nice. I like that. I like that thought, because it ran through my mind too as well. Avalon?
Oh, we just lost her. Oh no.
maybe because of that.
When she comes back, all right? Or should we pray for her still while she's not with us?
Yes, because really I felt that really we need to pray for her.
So then let's pray for her. You want to go ahead and pray for her, Eric?
Yes, yes. Thank you. Seigneur Jésus, je te bénis et je te rends grâce, Père éternel. Je te présente, Seigneur, notre sœur Avalon ce soir, Seigneur Jésus. Seigneur, tu vois qu'elle a un peu des problèmes, Seigneur, avec son nez, elle a des problèmes pour respirer. Seigneur, j'invoque ton sang de gloire dans sa vie, Seigneur Jésus. Seigneur, viens vraiment l'aider, Seigneur Jésus, afin qu'elle recouvre l'entièreté de ses moyens. Seigneur, je t'invoque puissamment, Seigneur Jésus, ce soir dans sa vie, Seigneur Dieu, afin que tu agisses pleinement maintenant, Seigneur Dieu. Maintenant, afin qu'elle puisse écouter ta parole, afin qu'elle puisse étudier, Seigneur Jésus, durant cette étude biblique. Éternel, nous te la confions, nous te la remettons entre ses mains. Que ton sang de gloire soit sur elle maintenant, au nom de Jésus-Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
She's not back with us as yet.
Okay.
But you can go ahead, Eric.
Okay, okay. Verse 3, saying you went to uncircumcised men and hate with them. But Peter began speaking and proceed to explain to them in orderly sequence, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object coming down like a great sheet lowered by four corners from the sky. And it came right down to me. And when I had fixed my gaze on it, and was observing it, I saw the four-foot animal of the herd, and the wild beast, and the crawling creatures, and the birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, by no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But the voice from heaven answered a second time, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. This happened three times, and everything was drawn back up into the sky. And behold, at that moment, three men appeared at the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from
Caesarea.
The Spirit told me to go with them, without misgiving. These six reverend also went with me, and we entered the man's house. And he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, "Send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. And he will speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household." And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it did upon us at the beginning. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he used to say, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Therefore, if God gave to them the gift as he gave to us also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, "Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that lead to life."
Okay, this is important, guys, because you see what it ends with? "Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life." What is that repentance that leads to life? That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because he says in verse 16, "And I remember the word of the Lord, how he used to say, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Amen. And then lower down he says, "God granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life." This is the special baptism of the Holy Spirit. So what is interesting is, remember, the Jews thought that they were clean and that everybody else was unclean. Okay? This is very symbolic, because everybody else was considered unclean, the Jews were clean. So, in other words, if you were a Gentile, this stuff didn't belong to you. So just like you know, he says higher up here, I know it's kind of confusing. He says gather Peter, kill and eat. He's not talking about meat. I know a lot of people say this means that you could now eat pork and all kinds of things. I don't even think this is about that, even though if you want to eat pork, it's fine, you know. It's not a sin to eat a piece of pork, but a lot of people say this means that God clean pork. I think this is philosophical. "Get up, Peter, kill and eat. By no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth." He was a Jew. They didn't eat pork. They didn't eat anything, any cloven foot animals and stuff like that, okay? So he was like, "No, God, I'm not eating anything that you said was unclean in the Old Testament." Anna, you should be aware of that, because you know how paranoid I am with stuff like that, all right? So he was saying, no, I could eat, I'm not eating that. And then God says, "But a voice from heaven answered a second time, 'What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy.'" So if you liken that to the Gentiles, it's like saying, "Oh no, we're Jews. They have to become Jews in order for them to have this gift that would lead to life." And God is saying, "No, if I clean them, I clean them. Who are you?" You know what I mean? So it's that thing. But the point that I was raising here is for us to see that John baptized with water. He remembered that. "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then he goes on to say, "Therefore, if God gave to them the same gift as he gave to us," who's the us? The us is the Jews. "If he gave to the Gentiles the same gift that he gave to us, also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God. They were excited. Oh, thank God. But Peter now is backing away. "Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance," and this is what I like, "not the normal repentance, but the repentance that leads to eternal, to life," which is eternal life, which is to me the baptism of the Spirit. Now, Paul explains about, there's another scripture that talks about it. We're talking a lot about baptism, all right? Because that's what our topic is today. We're talking about baptism and we're very excited about it. But the truth about it, guys, is this is basically in Christian theology, this is considered to be like milk. Okay? You know when you have a baby? When you have a baby, you have to give them milk. You can't give them meat because they can't take that on their stomach. So baptism is like milk. Mm-hmm. All right? This part of Christian belief is just the start. Way beyond that is the life that you have to live. And as Christians, as we grow, we move past this, and we're supposed to move past this and start focusing on other things. Now, you might say, yes, it's super important, but what I'm saying is that this is one of some of the basic stuff that we learn as Christians. So let's go to Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 6. Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 6. And we're going to ask Anna to read for us now. Avalon, are you back with us? I thought I just left it. Av, you back?
Yeah.
Just Av? Or you have to unmute?
I said I lost internet connection, okay. So I have to use my phone.
It's okay. And I've mentioned to you that while you were away, Eric prayed for you. We prayed for you, and Eric led us in prayer for you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks.
Okay. Anna Banana?
Yes?
Ephesians 4?
Verse 1?
Verses 1 to 6.
Yeah. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called.
Hold on. So God says that he's employing us to walk through Paul, all right, in a manner worthy of the calling with which we have been called. Go ahead, Anna.
With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
Okay, this wasn't the scripture that I was looking for, but we can talk about the scripture first and then I'll go to the other one. I wanted us to read this one because what does it say here, guys? It says there's one body and one Spirit.
And there's one baptism.
And there's one baptism. Anybody wants to explain this? Jen, any thoughts on this?
To me, seeing this, like I was saying before, baptism, the whole repentance, baptism, Holy Ghost is supposed to be representative of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so that was all one. A death, a burial, and resurrection were three separate acts, but it was still one thing that went toward what Jesus did for us to die for us. And so to me, this one baptism, it's that same kind of thing. Like the repentance is integral, right? There's plenty of verses that say you have to repent. There's plenty of verses that say you have to be baptized to be saved. There's plenty of verses that say you have to have the Holy Ghost to be saved. To me, it's still all one and the same. It's one set of things that through your Christian walk, you have to partake in.
Jen, can I say something about that?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen any verse that tells me you need baptism to be saved.
I'll pull some up.
This is the crux. Because I've tried to look into this, since this is a topic I was interested in, because I'm not yet baptized. But the thing is, I can't find anywhere where it says you have to be baptized to get eternal life. It doesn't say baptism is a bad thing. I mean, we've read all of this, so obviously not a bad thing.
Can I inject something here, Anna?
Yeah.
I disagree with you, because the scripture does say you have to be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Right, with the Holy Spirit, right. but not the procedure I'm talking about.
No. Not the water.
Hold on 1 second. So what I'm saying is that's what I'm trying to get at. Exactly what you said, exactly what people are saying. What I'm trying to say is that baptism, people make it into a water thing. The water thing is a part of the process. But baptism is baptism with the Holy Spirit.
It's right. That's the one baptism, right?
But let me just finish what I'm saying here. So what I'm saying is that there are several baptisms. There's water baptism, there's baptism with the Holy Spirit, there's baptism by fire. And what I'm saying is that I can't tell you that the Bible says that you don't have to be baptized with water. As far as I'm concerned, there's a lot of evidence in the Bible that a lot of people got baptized with water. And there's some scriptures that are ambiguous, but kind of like imply that unless you be baptized with this and with that, and it does, but when you go into the translations of these things, the original translations, sometimes they're not as clear. So what I'm saying is that's for you to sit with your Bible, pray to God, and ask Him to open your mind to it. So I'm not saying that what you're saying is wrong or is right, but what I'm saying is that you must be baptized. The details of what it is you're doing with that, I'm not going to say that you have to be completely immersed in water, or just a sprinkle will do, or you must go in the river, or you must go in the sea. I can't mandate that, but I do know that you must be baptized.
Absolutely. No, and I think it's very significant, the scripture that you pulled up earlier about, which one was it, where, which one was it? I'm trying to remember. Where they said, where you said Jesus was already crucified and he was walking the earth before the resurrection, right? Mm-hmm. And he was telling his disciples, soon you will, you know, receive the baptism through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I thought it was so interesting because at that point, in my mind, I always thought, oh, these people are already saved because they follow Christ. I thought they already had eternal life. They were already saved, mm-hmm, by virtue of them being his followers, his disciples. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was very interesting because it had to be the resurrection as the fulfillment of the prophecy that will give you the chance for your baptism through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like it could not have happened before.
Mm-hmm. Unless God orchestrated it another way specifically for you.
Right. So I completely understand. Like, that was very eye-opening to me reading that, because I thought all the time, okay, from the moment these people said, you know, when he called them on the fishing boat, follow me, from that moment that he was saved, had eternal life, that his change had come. But it's interesting, like, it's almost like it could not have come until Jesus, who had already been resurrected, already had been crucified, but had not yet been resurrected.
Okay.
Because this is his resurrection is the victory over sin.
Yes.
That is the eternal life. So that's where the Holy Spirit come from. I think Rebecca was saying that. So I completely, that to me is the baptism that this is referring to.
And you know what is exciting about what you're saying for me?
That's interesting.
What is exciting about what you're saying is that that means that I can't come here and tell you X, Y, Z. You now have a responsibility to search the scriptures and to see and to understand baptism more. Maybe as you search, you will find that water becomes more important. Maybe as you search, you will find that it becomes less important. But that's your relationship with God. And I mean, I have shared some scripture with you. Jen might share something else with you that has references to water. Rebecca may have some, but the point about it is that this is your journey in your relationship with God. I have my journey, and we're here to edify and help each other. But I'm not here to tell you, do so, or else, because I don't know God's plan for you. The prophets and the apostles who came before, some of them may not be baptized with water, but that doesn't mean they will not be in the kingdom of God. I can't limit God, but one thing I do know is that you will not be in the kingdom of God without the Spirit of God. You have to have the Spirit of God to be in the kingdom of God. That much I do know. The issue of water with respect to how you get this physical baptism with water, that's another issue.
And can I say something, Kathy?
And Rebecca, but I know Jen has some stuff too, so maybe any one of you all could go first and then the next one.
Maybe Rebecca. it had to have, Jesus didn't need the Holy Spirit, but he was baptized with water. He was submerged in water. So what was he trying to teach us and to tell us? Because it had to have some importance for us, for Jesus to submerge in water, right? He was setting an example for us to follow. So what I'm gathering, like what Gary was saying, what I'm gathering is that I know the Holy Spirit is important, but water baptism is just as important because Jesus did it. He set that example for us.
Can I say something about that? Mm-hmm. I have thought about this point a lot, actually, because I know many churches... sorry, there's some echo. Can you guys hear that?
Yeah, I'm hearing it.
Sorry, just a second.
I think you're okay now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because I know a lot of churches say that as a justification, you have to get baptized formally this way because Jesus did it. And I know Jesus's life is, sorry, just one second.
Sorry, baby.
Sorry, the echo was making me crazy. But the thing is, and I understand, and I know there's many, many scriptures that point to the fact that the water component is important. But I've always wondered, Jesus did it under very extraordinary circumstances, because really and truly, at that time, as we were just discussing, thousands of people were baptized in water, and thousands of people were doing it under very specific circumstances. And when Jesus did it, he did it in a way where John the Baptist was saying, no, 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 I'm not supposed to baptize you. You ain't supposed to be doing this, because Jesus didn't have to ask for forgiveness for anything.
He was without sin.
Right. He didn't have to be cleansed from anything.
Like, right.
So it was some sort of symbolic act. Mm-hmm. So I do understand that there probably is a symbolism in that we're supposed to draw from. Like, I can see that. But I can't see that translating into me saying, okay, because Jesus did it, I'm supposed to do it. Because Jesus is not me. I am nothing like Jesus. So this is the dichotomy for me that I'm trying to figure out and that I've been trying to read up on.
There's something I want to add here before we go to Jen, because Jen has stuff to share with us. But Rebecca, I take your point, but you must remember something, that Jesus did a lot of stuff that we don't do. But for example, Jesus kept the holy high days. We don't keep the holy high days. I'm sure you don't keep the holy high days. Jesus kept the high Sabbaths. Jesus kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The scripture tells you that. Jesus kept the Feast of Tabernacles, all these things. These are all things that Jesus did. And what I'm saying is that he did a lot of things, and we don't have to do many of those things that he did, because he came at a time when he went through a process. Jesus died on the cross. We don't have to die on the cross. You know, Jesus really suffered tremendous pain and went through a lot. So I understand what you're saying. It's good if we want to follow his example that way. And I completely agree with you. And I think if you feel that whatever he did, you would like to do too, that's between you and him.
But Gary, I'm not cutting you, but Romans 6:3.
Yeah.
Said, no, he not, because Jesus, the reason for Jesus' baptism is for us, when we baptize, we baptize in his death. It says, no, he not, that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were baptized with him by baptism.
So we could go and follow you in the Bible. Can you tell us the scripture that you're reading?
Oh, I did. Romans 6.
You went a little too fast for me. I'm still with my Bible. Romans 6,
I'm reading from verse 3.
Verse 3.
Yeah, okay. verse 3, 4, uh-huh. And I think 5 or 6. So it says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are baptized with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Right, and we agree with you. This is baptism. I agree with you. We have to be baptized. But we're not necessarily, Rebecca, talking about water baptism, because we saw that this notion that water baptism is baptism. What I'm saying is that if you get baptized with water, but not with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be in the kingdom of God.
The baptism that Jesus is showing, when Jesus baptized, when Jesus was baptized, he baptized to show us that he was baptized, he was buried. Mm-hmm. So water baptism is like our burial into Jesus Christ. So when we are baptized in him, we bury our sin. This is what it is. This is how I see it. This is what the Bible teaches me.
Okay, Jen may want to share some stuff because she has.
Yeah, I was going to go to, if we go back to Acts chapter 10.
Okay, Acts 10.
Yeah.
All right, got it.
So, you know, we're reading about Peter and the vision he had about God, you know, saying what he cleansed. No one should consider unholy, right?
Yes.
So if we go down to let's start at verse 34. So now, you know, this whole vision was in response to Cornelius, an Italian man who was praying.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the Lord sent him to preach to this guy, right? Mm-hmm. So now this is when Peter starts preaching. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to his sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know. Sorry, I hit something wrong. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee, after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all these things he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. While Peter was still preaching these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they, hearing them speak with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water, for these be baptized who have received the Holy Ghost just as we did. Can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they asked him to stay on for a few days.
Amen. So,
for me, in this example, you know, as Peter was preaching, these people received the Holy Ghost. And Peter didn't say, okay, this is all. He said, you know, who can refuse this water? And they went and baptized them. So even though they just received the Holy Ghost, they went and got water baptized after.
And I completely agree. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it, which is what I'm saying. But I don't know if this says that you have to be baptized that way. And that's what I can show you another example that I have here where the same thing happened. There were men who were driving down. I had it here. It's very similar to this. You could be baptized with water. In fact, I think this supports what we say. You could be baptized with water after receiving the Holy Spirit. The point about it, I'm saying it's an outward expression.
Yeah, no, the point I was making is that, you know, it wasn't just enough just for them to receive the Holy Ghost.
That's where I'm not sure to say that it wasn't enough, because I don't see the scripture saying that it wasn't enough. It was saying that they went further, but the Holy Spirit is enough for us. I don't see the scripture saying that it was not enough, that after this, they had to do that in order to have eternal life. That's the point. I'm just saying, I'm not putting something there that doesn't exist.
The reason I'm saying that it wasn't enough is that Peter was saying that, you know, they were the ones who were with Jesus, who heard what Jesus was telling them and teaching them, and they're sharing it to someone else. Right. And so, to me...
But I'm saying that I'm completely agreeing with you.
No, I understand what you're saying, but that was just the point I'm going with. Okay, that these are people who were with Jesus, who even saw Jesus after he was resurrected, who heard him say, wait for this promise. Mm-hmm. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost about repentance, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, being filled with the Holy Ghost. And he kept preaching that throughout. It wasn't just like, okay, this is part of it. Like, you know, just one part. They kept on with that message. Like, these are components of things you should do.
Oh, I agree with that.
That's all I'm saying.
I completely agree with what you're saying there. I completely agree with that. I'm not disputing that at all. These are all great things that we want to say we should do or we could do. But what I'm talking about is when people say that if this doesn't happen to you, you're not saved. That's a completely different thing. That's people imposing on me God's power. God has his power to do with me what he wants. He could save me without me doing that. But he says in the word that I will not be in the kingdom of God without his Spirit. So I know that much. But he doesn't say I would not be in the kingdom of God if they don't immerse me in some water. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't say it's a bad thing to do. It's a great thing to do that. In fact, after I find out that I have the Holy Spirit of God, if I decide to head to the synagogue for Sabbath or to the church for Sabbath, that's great. However, whatever I do, and baptism is not like, it's not something I'm saying we should take lightly. It's great to actually believe that hey, I'm so happy that I'm saved, that I want to proclaim this to the world. And if you dip me in some water and raise me up, I will say it at the top of my voice. I want everybody to know I am proud, I am happy, God has glorified me. I want to show all my homage to God. That's great. All I'm just saying is that I don't see in the scripture that the only way to be in the kingdom of God is to be immersed in water. I don't see that. And I know the prophets before, I don't know if they were immersed in water. I don't see anything that says that. And so I think your baptism and my baptism, I love them and they're great. But I can't say to somebody, well, if you don't get baptized, that's it. Don't get baptized with water. I think people mix up the two. That's all I'm saying. I'm glad that you shared this verse, because I have similar verse too that I wanted to share. And this one really is explicit about it. There's another one with some guys who were traveling, a eunuch. And the eunuch was like, oh, you know what? I'm so happy. Let me go and get baptized now. And he ran into the water. And who was it? I think Paul wanted them baptized them and immediately disappeared. And then he went all over telling people that he had been saved. All right. So, yeah, there's support for baptism with water. But I don't see that. I don't like, if you show me it in the scripture where God says you have to be baptized with water to enter the kingdom of God, I would believe it, but I have to see it. I believe what I see, you know? We could probably...
Can I add something to that?
You could look for some more scriptures. I would look for some, because listen, at the end of the day, if it's there, we must believe it.
Gary?
We have to believe it. Rebecca, you could also scroll your Bible. This is a great exercise, and we could come into a better understanding as to if this is so. Because if it is so, I don't want to talk what I'm talking if it is so. I don't want to talk about it this way. I want to talk about it the way that God wants me. And I don't think I'm an authority, Jen. You understand? I don't think I mean,
none of us are. I understand. Yeah. I know, like.
Yeah, we're learning, all right? We're learning and we're growing, hopefully. And hopefully God is guiding us with his spirit. And as I say, this is not the first time that you have differences in views. Anna, sorry.
Oh, sorry. I thought you couldn't hear me.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I just I think 2 days ago came across this scripture, and this is what sort of nails it down for me. This is Ephesians 2, verse 8. This is nice, Rebecca. Your Bible has a map in the back.
Oh, yeah.
That's really nice. Is that of the actual places that they talk about in the Bible?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, the places that Paul, the different cities where Paul was preaching the gospel, it show you on the map.
Oh, I like that.
Step one, two.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
You don't miss anything.
No, I saw it. I really like maps, so that's probably why.
Oh, okay.
I think that's
cool. She's a young person.
Yeah, so I was saying, this is what I came across 2 days ago, Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And to me, this is always sort of the confirmation. There's nothing I can do or to either gain or undo my eternal life, my being saved, except for it is the will of God.
It's a great scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great scripture.
Yep.
Can I share one thing with you guys again? Two things I have to share before we close. But one is, Jan, remember I told you I had a scripture that was kind of similar to the one that you had? I wanted to read that one. It's Acts 19, verses 1 to 7. And I was going to share it and I left it out because of time. But but now we could go...
Acts 19,
verses 1 to 7. Oh, yeah, this is the one I was talking about where they got baptized again.
Sorry?
This was the passage I was talking about where they got baptized again.
Yeah, this is what I you didn't read it, all right, did you?
No.
Yes, and I thought, and I had it there to read. So when you were saying it, I was like, remember I told you, yes, you know, we'll talk about this is it.
I know, I was trying not to jump ahead with whatever verses you had.
It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? This is so interesting. These were disciples. Okay, guys? And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Because a disciple is a follower. And they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So they're disciples following, but they don't even know that there's a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism, which was a baptism of water for repentance. All right? I'm adding that part. That's what John's baptism was. Paul said, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. Now, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. Mm-hmm. There were in all about 12 men. Okay? So this is an example of people who were baptized once, and then they got baptized again. Now, Scripture doesn't tell you this was about the second baptism that they had here was a baptism with water. It may have been that too, but obviously the most important part of it was what? Was that
the Holy Spirit.
Baptized with the Holy
Spirit.
This is the most important thing. So I wanted to mention that. But as we talk about baptism, many of us here are already baptized. And so it's kind of almost like an academic topic. That's why I want to move us from thinking about baptism as, oh, it's good, we're baptized, we're cool, we're good, we're safe. No, we're not. Not necessarily. That's a different issue. But what I want us to focus on is to understand that we walk around beating, not us, but people generally walk around beating their chest about baptism and stuff like that. But when you read the scripture, you realize this is just one of the basics. It's just one of the basics, guys. And that's what I was saying before. If we go to Hebrews chapter 6, if we go to the first two verses, and I will read, all right? Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ. This is an elementary teaching, guys. Let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. We already know that we must repent from dead works. We already know of faith towards God, of instruction about washings. Now, whether that is reflective of baptism or not, I don't know, but it says instruction about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened, I wouldn't go on to this. So what I'm saying here is that the Bible describes these things as elementary teachings. So we are like kids in this regard, but we have to move on to much more fundamental things now, because it's God's spirit in us that is now working to do things. I wish Sybil was here, because she always likes to talk about doing stuff, which I think is so powerful, you know, and I am weak in that area, and some of us may be weak in that area. You know, it's not an academic exercise. It's drawing close to God and His Spirit inspiring us that we're going out there and really making a difference in the world. Because many are called, but few are chosen. And we're probably not chosen, but if we're called, we're called for a purpose, and we must answer that calling. Eric is always reminding us of it. You know, our prayer and Bible study is not just for prayer and Bible study's sake, but for us moving forward as Christians, deep in our hearts, serving God's children, loving God's children, caring about God's children, stuff that we are divorced from. So baptism is fantastic and very fundamental, but as Christians who've been in the faith for long, we must move on from this to other things. And now, those of us who are now being exposed to it, we have to try to understand it as best as we could, and then take whatever action we need to take. So that's the point that I'm raising. As deep as it is, it's also too a time for us to move to other things and not sit on the laurels of we've been baptized, so we're cool and we're good. And I'm talking about all of us.
I agree with what you're saying, but what I will say is that it's good that we study these things. We have to know, because when we have to witness to other people and tell other people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are things that we have to know according to the Bible and have to be in agreement with, that when we spread the news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have to know what we're telling people.
Yes.
Okay? Yes. So, you know, if somebody asks us about water baptism, you know, should we get baptized and stuff like that, we have to know what to tell people.
Yes. I agree with you completely. And it's always good to study the word of God. And I agree with you. And I'm just saying that yes, we have to know, we have to understand, and we have to continue to grow. And in that context, to what I'm saying is that our issues then, once we get past that and we understand and we know, is the lives that we live. You know,
right.
That's what our issue is, as the Holy Spirit inspires. Because that's what the Holy Spirit gets and comes into us for. It gives us eternal life, and then the power for us to love God, to love each other, and to really, really care about each other, even each other in the group as a group. Yes, Rebecca, I am really happy that you raised this topic and that Anna had it in her heart. So having said all of that, we could tie everything up with the area that Rebecca read for us earlier, which is, I think this is Matthew
20. Matthew.
The last paragraph in the book of Matthew, I believe.
Yeah, that was Matthew 28, I think.
Yeah, Matthew 28. I think if we go to the last paragraph from verse 16. And this is called, of course, the Great Commission. And so a lot of churches use this and preach going out there and doing this. And so let's read it again to see what it says. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee. Strange 11 disciples. Anybody knows why?
Judas was missing. Yeah. He didn't get the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, they don't replace him until X.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys, but I still have hope that Judas would be in the kingdom of God. I still have hope that he would be, unless it is God's decision that he's not. But I still have hope, because when they asked Christ about Judas, he said, listen, it's not for you to know. They asked what became of Judas, and he said, listen, that's not for you to know. So even Judas might be in the kingdom of God.
I remember when I first met you, I think that's the first time I actually listened to you about the Bible and about Christianity, was when you told me Hitler could be in heaven.
Yeah.
I was interesting, like, we had a little Bible study to start off the conversation. That'll hook anybody in, like, what?
You know, they would burn you alive, Gary, in Germany, if you said that to anybody. You don't know if God would bring him to repentance. God could bring him.
The Führer.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, and you know, there's other scriptures where God has given Christ all the authority, and then the time will come in the future after Christ comes back, guys, where Christ will then turn back all the authority to God. It's such a beautiful dynamic that happens in the future one day. When you read about it, it's so exciting, the whole structure and the authority that God has and how he works, and he gives Christ this authority, and Christ leads us, and then when he brings us to that point, then he hands back the authority to God. But he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Praise God, all right? So therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Rebecca, baptize them. And is baptizing them, I know the inference here might be water, all right, but I see baptizing them and I go with that, but I'm baptized too, you're baptized too, but baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I this is a really powerful commission that Christ gives us, all right? And I've been trying to understand what our place in this commission is. What is the expectation that God has of us? And there's some things that I've been thinking of recently that I want one Bible study to share with the group, because it's really touching when we started going to understand that God gives us this commission and even a role in this commission. And, you know, it's just a lot of mind-blowing stuff that God is opening up to us. So the thing about it is that we know what we have to do. I love that he doesn't say, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them with water. Good night. He's baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, as Rebecca told us, and the Holy Spirit. And then he doesn't stop there, teaching them to observe all, you know, I don't hear these things. I keep hearing the water, water, water. But he says teaching, not from us here, I'm talking about in general. He says teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you.
What I have commanded you.
And lo, he says, don't worry about a thing because I'm there with you always, even unto death, even to the end of the age. Okay. What time is it, guys?
Oh, boy.
It's early.
Setting a record.
I missed her tonight. I hope she's okay.
That's unreal. I didn't realize it was so late.
Guys, let's always remember one thing. After a topic like this, especially Jan, Rebecca, Avlon, it would really be meaningful if and Anna, of course, and Eric and me, if we could even delve further into these topics on our own.
I took tons of notes. Look, I got notes to take.
And you know,
I'll have some extra verses for you before next week.
Because the Bible is there for reproof and for correction.
Correction, yeah.
It's there for reproof, for proof, for reproof and correction. So if you find something Gary said was, Robert, made me uncomfortable, and then I went and you find something substantial, call me or come and talk to me. You want to save it for the next Bible study when we bring up the topic again. But let's talk about it because that's the only way we would grow. I remember my pastor saying once to me, all change is not growth, but all growth is change. So to grow...
Iron sharpened iron.
Yes. So to grow, we must change. We can't grow without changing. If we don't change, we're not going to grow. So that's why we have to keep, to grow it, we have to keep changing. All right?
Yeah. There's one verse. Yeah. I guess just to add on to that. It's 2 Timothy 2:15.
Can we go there?
Yes.
I'm
already there. I have it memorized in King James, and I'm like, what does it say in NASB? I have to.
I found it on my first turn, Jan. I have a Bible. I turned once, I found it.
Wait, what is it? 2 Timothy what?
2:15.
2:15. One of the things I just want to mention, the reason why I asked for us to go there is because I believe if we see it in the scripture, it hits our brains more. That's why I like to read it and for people to see it.
I love this verse, Jen.
Yeah, I know. I love this one.
Yes.
Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth.
Excellent. Amen.
Great. Fantastic. I'm not even familiar with this that way, so it's good that you read it because...
I would read it the King James Version.
I know.
You need to show thyself approved.
Oh, okay. I know I should.
Yeah, exactly. I knew the paper, and I was like, what is this in the NASB? But
read it fully in the King James was, Rebecca.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Okay, good. Great. Thanks.
What translation I have
Anybody has any other thoughts before we close? Except, of course, we have to go to the closer, all right? Any other thoughts? All right.
Eric, you're muted. I see you waving your hand.
So Eric, close us, and then we're going to ask.
Yeah, sorry. I would say something.
Okay, good.
I know that is the first time, but really, I have the impression that, is it possible maybe next week to come back and continue to discuss about this topic, because really I have the impression that it's so interesting probably we need probably a time to digest, probably 1 week, and we can probably come next week continue to discuss with probably more verse.
Okay.
Really to, because this is what I have in mind, really. This topic is very interesting, and I really think that
Whose turn is it next week? The topic.
But I was going to suggest that we do this in two parts because it's so
much.
Yeah, two parts because it's so much, you know? So much.
This week was originally Z's turn.
Z. So who's
the next one? The next one would be Rebecca.
Oh, so
if on baptism.
If Rebecca, yeah. Then we can do it next week. Rebecca?
Yeah, we'll continue.
Okay, so Eric, Rebecca, so we can do
it. I can't lead out because I'm late.
Okay.
No, but I'll join in.
But one of us can lead, that's fine. But is Eric there? Did he disappear?
No, Eric's still there.
Eric?
I'm here, yes.
Yes, so Rebecca agreed. It's her turn next week, so we could use her time to discuss this. And this was something that she wanted to do too, so that's perfect. We could do that. And could you just tell us again exactly how you want us to go about doing it? What you're suggesting?
Me or Rebecca?
Rebecca.
If you could just explain to us, what we will do is go back and study it more, and then we bring more scriptures.
Yeah.
Is that good, Eric?
Yes. Because really, today we have a lot of verse. I would like if really if we can take the time to review it and probably come, because there is still have some kind of pending question that probably reading those verse we can be able to discuss about that next week.
I love it.
Because I really appreciate what you say, that at the end of the day, is not really what I'm thinking or what Anna is thinking or what Jennifer is thinking. The most important thing is what the Bible is saying.
Yeah.
And we should be able at least to find a truth reading the Bible.
Exactly. And we have to have minds that no matter what we see, if it goes against what we have in our head, that we'll take this out. In other words, if we come back and somebody's able to show me, Gary, look at what this says here, and we study it, or I study it after we go and I see different things, or you see something different, this is what it's supposed to be. So that we
knowledge.
This is growing in knowledge and in grace. So I like this approach for this topic, because truthfully, this is a very, very heavy topic.
It is.
Great. So next week we will do that. So everybody will come with their thoughts and with their questions, and we will have a session where we can have a more of an open discussion. What I could do is I could kind of moderate the open discussion. All right, but it will be more of an open discussion than just one person leading everything. We'll try and keep it open. I'll just moderate it. So everybody could share, we could get answers and stuff. That's what you're thinking of, Eric?
Yes.
Great. Okay. All right. Now, somebody, I would like to ask for somebody to pray for us. I would really like to ask somebody to pray for us. And it would be nice if somebody would volunteer. Eric said a prayer for Avlon earlier. Eric will pray for us. Great.
Jennifer could be the closer.
What?
I thought what you said there was closing, but that's good. Jen, we want you to be the closer today.
Can I just add something to this? How very appropriate, because today we celebrated the 25th anniversary of the Beijing Platform for Action, which is a women's rights gender equality thing. So this is a big day for that today. Huge step forward for women's empowerment. So I think very, very symbolic.
And I was just going to say, because it's a two-part, there's no closing for this week. So
we call it transitioning, all right? So Jen, you could transition us, and then Eric will pray, and then you say good night.
Yeah, I think overall, as you said, Gary, this is one of the elementary things of Christianity, but it's also one of the foundational pieces. And so it is important that we take time to really understand what the Bible says about it. And, you know, not just be hearers of the word, but doers as well. So as we find stuff in the Bible, then, you know, when we read and understand, and then we take action as part of our Christian life. So not just to leave it as, okay, this is what the Bible says, but okay, what I'm supposed to be doing, what the Bible says. And if I'm not there yet, let's pray and ask God to help us to get to those places of where we need to be in our Christian walk, regardless of what step it is. There's so many things. It's like every time you read the Bible, you find something new, and it's like, okay, Lord, I need your help with this, you know? So that's part one of the closing. Next week will be a fuller closing.
Okay.
Gary, are you going to put this online? Gary?
Okay, I know I keep promising
post it.
To bring my promises, but this one I will keep my promise with. I will.
What are you doing with the other ones? Every week I'm like, okay, I'll
looking for it. I was looking for the other one. I couldn't find it. So.
I will post them. I will post them tomorrow. Okay, I give you guys my commitment. I will post them tomorrow. My delinquence is embarrassing me.
Yeah, because Rebecca and I missed the first, pretty much almost the first hour.
Yeah, we do.
I want to at least go through so I don't like pick the same verses again, or if you, you know, maybe have a discussion about it.
That is true. I promise I will post tomorrow and I will send out that link. Anna, your job is to beat me if I don't.
We can just assign it to Anna.
Gender empowerment. All right. You want to pray for us?
Yes. Okay. Éternel, je te bénis et je te rends grâce. Je te bénis pour ton amour, pour ta sagesse et vraiment la grâce que tu diffuses dans nos vies. Éternel, je te dis merci pour cette étude biblique, Seigneur Dieu, dans laquelle, Père, nous nous retrouvons, nous tes enfants. Éternel, je te dis merci pour ton amour. Merci pour ta paix, Père éternel. Merci pour ton Saint-Esprit qui nous oriente au travers de ce thème très important qui est le baptême. Seigneur, je te bénis pour toutes ces personnes qui ont participé, Seigneur Dieu, à cette étude. Seigneur, ouvre notre intelligence, ouvre notre esprit de telle sorte que nous puissions vraiment digérer, Père éternel, ce que nous avons appris aujourd'hui. Seigneur, ta parole déclare que ton peuple périt par faute de connaissance. Seigneur, ouvre nos yeux spirituels, ouvre notre esprit afin que nous puissions vraiment retenir ces paroles. Seigneur, béni sois-tu pour tout. Seigneur, je viens te présenter chaque membre, Seigneur Dieu, de ce groupe, Seigneur Dieu, afin que tu bénisses chacun, Seigneur Dieu. Tu connais les besoins de chacun, Père éternel. Je veux vraiment que tu nous bénisses. Je veux que tu bénisses chacun d'entre nous ici présents. Je veux, Père éternel, que tu nous donnes la paix, que tu nous donnes la santé, que tu nous donnes l'abondance, Seigneur, dans tout ce que nous entreprenons. Seigneur, nous te disons vraiment merci. Je veux vraiment, Seigneur Dieu, que tu nous bénisses, Seigneur Dieu, afin que nous puissions honorer, Seigneur Dieu, cet engagement d'aller de par le monde et de faire des disciples. Seigneur, je viens te présenter tout ce groupe. Je viens te présenter, Seigneur Dieu, chacun des membres. Que toute la gloire et l'honneur, Père éternel, te soient vraiment rendus. Seigneur, nous te remettons la semaine prochaine, la deuxième partie, Seigneur Jésus, de cette étude, où nous allons continuer vraiment de parler du baptême. Seigneur, dispose toutes les situations, que tout le monde soit en forme et en bonne santé, Seigneur, afin de recevoir de toi. Seigneur, que toute la gloire et l'honneur te soient encore rendus. En ton nom, nous avons ainsi prié. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I felt that prayer, even though I didn't understand, but you know, I felt.
Do you know one day, guys, Eric could do something like that, and we could hear him in our own language.
I actually felt.
Or he can also pray in English.
Do you know one day he could be praying like that, and you hear him in English?
Yeah. Amen. All right. Amen.
Eric, take care.
Good night,
everyone.
Thank you, guys. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Hold on. Tomorrow I will post it.
Okay.
Okay. Bye bye.
Have you on tape?
Yes, I know.